Today we're going to talk about, we're going to continue with Anxious for Nothing. I'm going to go over a little bit because I was out for one week and Christopher did an amazing job about the gospel and what it is. And then the following week, John followed up with Jesus, the truth about Jesus and who he is. How many of you listened to that and was a part of that and that blessed you? Both weeks, it was amazing. I love it that we have so many people that are able to deliver God's word. Because how many of you know there's not a lot of places that have that, right? That when they stand behind this pulpit, when they stand behind this whatever this is, it's not a pulpit, this music stand, right? When they stand up here and they speak, you know that it's from their heart. You know that they sought God about what to say and what to bring to you. And it's not, I'm going to tell you, every time it happens, God changes my life in a certain way, right? Changes the way I look at things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I think it's really cool that Christopher talked about his perspective on giving, because today we're going to talk about perspective and having a perspective of praise. Our scriptures that we've been reading from on this series is Philippians 4:4-7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God." Whoops. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Jesus Christ." How many of you know it's difficult to rejoice sometimes? How many of you know we don't always handle the place that we're at with the right perspective? Right? How many of you know we don't do that? So because it's been a little bit, I'm going to go over a little bit of what we talked about in the first couple of weeks. The first week, I talked about the mistakes that we make when we get anxious about things. How we make four common mistakes. How many of you know there are more than four mistakes we make when we get anxious? But I'm just going to share four of them with you, all right? The first ones are that we run. We talked about Elijah and about running, right? And then we talked about how we shut people out. You know, when we get in the middle of a situation, we kind of close off to everyone and bring ourselves away from people. How many of you know that's one of the worst mistakes we can make, because we're designed for community. We're designed for people to be with us, and we strengthen each other in our weaknesses. We focus on the negative a lot, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. And then number four is we forget about God. We forget what God has done in our past. We forget where he's brought us from. We forget what the word says that he is to us. And how many of you know we need to remember those things? Not people say our past, don't look back at your past. Don't dwell on your past. But always look back to see where God's brought you from. See how he's delivered you in those times. And understand that he's going to do it again, right? It's not like the children of Israel that says, "Have you only brought us out here into the wilderness to kill us? To let us die," right? If God's brought you this far, he's not going to leave you there. We need to remember that. Week two, we talked about praying through the pain, how anxiety is a signal that alerts us it's time to pray. So if you start focusing on every time you start to get anxious about something, you go straight to God with it, how many of you know your perspective is going to change on it? Right? And we're going to talk a little bit more about the perspective that we need to have and how it changes us. But that always happens. Anxiety is a signal that alerts us it's time to pray. And then we talked about how we pray to the Father in Jesus' name about everything, anywhere we're at, and do it all the time, right? Paul says, pray without ceasing. We need to always be talking to God about everything that's going on in our life. You say, well, that's dumb. No, it's not. You know, I talk to my wife about everything that's happening with me. I have a very close relationship with her. You know, my relationship with God should be closer than my relationship with my wife. Even though the two become one and we're married, we're together, it's still about me and God, and my wife comes after that. Then my kids comes after that. And there's a level of where we put things. God, I should be going to him all the time about everything, in the good and in the bad. And then breaking the cycle of anxiety in our life. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. We might can't control the situation, but I can always give it to God. Amen? We need to remember that. That's the first 2 weeks. Now we're going to get into this week. You guys ready? Again, anxiety. We're going to talk about the perspective of praise. And you know, we're geared, I think, I know, I'm geared towards being anxious about stuff. Like, somebody comes to me about something, and I look at the negative always before I see the positive, every single time. Matter of fact, my wife this morning, I'm glad God gave me her. She's amazing to me. He knew I couldn't do it without her. I'm just going to be honest, right? He knew I couldn't function on my own without my wife. That's just how I am, right? So this morning, I was aggravated about something. Something happened, and something was said, and I was aggravated about it. And she said, whoa, let's back up and look at this. Right? She didn't quite say it that way. That's a Toby translation of what she said. But that's what she said. That's what I got out of it. Whoa, let's back up and let's look about it. This is what happened. You're looking at it like this, but you know you should look at it like this. You should look at it like that. And you know, hers is always positive, and for some reason, mine's negative. I'm just being real with you guys, right? But I'm so thankful for my wife and for my friends and for my father and for Pastor John and for Nick and Shane and the guys that are here, Rusty and Dwayne, and I'm naming people, DB in the back. All these people, man, I'm thankful for them to be a part of my life. Brian, Walt, all you guys, man. Rob, say praise the Lord just one time really loud. Okay, I feel better now. I'm ready to go on. See, it's that kind of excitement that I need in my life, right? It's that kind of encouragement that I need sometimes, because sometimes I start to get anxious and I start to forget, and I let my perspective come from a wrong angle, right? I let my perspective come from a wrong direction. Today, now we're going to talk about Philippians 4, this verse, where he was at when he wrote this verse, why it was important that he wrote it to these people, right? And why they believed in what he was saying. How many of you know it's really easy to say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, right? It's really easy. No matter what you're going through, rejoice. But then look at my life when I'm in an area of issue and problem and see, am I rejoicing? That's a different story sometimes, right? That's a different story. I was talking with several people, man. It seems like it's been like a consistent thing where I'm like, hey, I know what to tell you right now. Just because it's the right thing to do doesn't mean that I always do it. I should. I find myself in the same situation that Paul's in. He's like, what I know and what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. I know how to handle the situation. I know what the Word of God says in it. But when I'm in that situation, sometimes it's a lot more difficult, right? It's easy for me to tell you what to do. Y'all need to do this. I got that shirt that says, y'all need Jesus, right? I'm wearing it around. You're like, what's up, y'all? Y'all need Jesus. And like, people look at me like, well, you need him too. I'm like, yes, I do. We all need him, right? We all need him. But Paul is writing this letter in Philippians, and he's writing them in prison. He's in chains at the moment, right? Imagine being locked up, being in chains, being there, and still telling somebody, man, you need to be happy about everything you're going through. You need to rejoice for who God is in the middle of your situation. How many of you know that's a discouraging place to be? Hopefully a lot of you guys don't know that's a discouraging place to be. You ain't never been there. But it's a discouraging place to be. So I've heard, right? Not that I know from past experiences when I was younger or anything. It's a difficult place. And it's easy, again, to tell somebody to rejoice when you're not in that situation. This verse is a really good verse to put on your refrigerator, or like, remember when they used to crochet stuff and on a coffee mug? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But when you're going through the middle of it, that's not what you want to hear. But it's exactly what you need to hear. Amen? It's exactly what you need to hear. He's writing this letter to them, and as we read it and as we see it right now, it's again, it's easy to quote, it's hard to receive, but when we're upset, we're supposed to rejoice. When we have a flat tire, we're supposed to rejoice. Yeah, I've told you guys this story before. My dad was a kids pastor running bus ministry, and they had a flat, and they had kids all on the bus, and they were trying to get to church. How many of you know buses aren't air-conditioned, especially back in them days, the 70s, right? They weren't air-conditioned at that point. They weren't really, really nice, and they would just put the windows down like when you guys remember the yellow bus, cheese wagon, right? So he's driving one of those around, gets a flat tire. He's aggravated and mad and upset. He's not here. I can tell the story about him. You can ask him about it later. It's true, because he's told it before. He was aggravated about having the flat tire, and he said, get out, and I'm grumbling. And Hank, who's a good friend of our family's, Hank DeLotte, he's the pastor at Central Christian Center now in Missouri, he got out and said, man, I wonder who God wants us to talk to here. How many of you know it's the same situation, totally different perspective on it? The first perspective can ruin your day. The second perspective can brighten someone else's, can help. And as Christopher said a minute ago, blessing others, we're blessed. Because we get to bless others, we're blessed. So are you serious? I'm always supposed to rejoice. How about if my spouse lies to me about something? How about if I have to battle a sickness? How about if I lose something that was very important to me? Right? How about if a family member passes away? How about if I can't make my bills? How about if all these different things, you're going to tell me that I still have to rejoice, that I still should rejoice? And the answer to that is yes. I'm going to explain a little bit more about it, but I'm going to read that scripture again. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. It's all about perspective. What does perspective mean? Perspective means how you see things, like how you see the situation. That's your perspective. How many of you know we can have different perspectives on the same situation, right? That's why when you go to court, you have witnesses on this side and witnesses on that side. And one of them says one thing and the other one says the other thing. I remember this picture that I saw on Facebook. And it was the prince over in England. And he had his hand up in the air. And from the side, it looked like he was telling somebody, you're number one with only one finger, the wrong one, right? But then when you turn from the front, he had three fingers up like that. And it was about the perspective. If you're looking at it from the wrong perspective, you see the wrong thing. You see the wrong thing. You see the wrong situation. We could look at the same thing, and some of us see defeat, and some of us see Jesus working in the situation. We need to understand that. I remember about perspective and about not seeing God's perspective on things in the book of 2 Kings. Chapter 6, verses 19 through 15. It says, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army of horses and chariots was all around the city. And he said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. And when they went, the Syrians came down against them. And Elisha prayed, and the Lord said, please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way. This is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the men you seek. And he led them to Samaria. So these guys are out to get him. They're following him. Right? This is, y'all just thought Obi-Wan was the one with the mind control trick, right? Like, this is not the droid you're looking for. This is what just happened right there. That's where that came from. Some of y'all catch it in a little bit. He's like, this is not the place you're supposed to be. And they're like, oh, this is not the place we're supposed to be. You need to go someplace else. Oh, we need to go someplace else, right? That's what happened right there. If you read that scripture, you see that, right? Some of you guys are still looking at me crazy, but that's what happened. He said, God, open his eyes. At the beginning of the verse, he said, open his eyes that he can see what you're doing in the situation, your protection in the situation, your provision in the situation. You know, sometimes we need to stop looking with our earthly eyes and look with the eyes of the Spirit saying, God, what are you doing here? Show me what's happening. And allow our eyes to be open. Allow me to have a different perspective. Because we can have a perspective of fear and anxiety, or we can have a perspective of praise. My friend put on Facebook, Israel put on Facebook the other day, it was a picture, and it was a guy, he was all dressed up and had a hat rack with a cane on one side and a top hat on the other, like the old school hats and the canes. And then it had a grumpy face and a happy face. It says, every day you have the choice. You have the choice. You know, you have the choice of whether you're going to look at it in a negative way. You have a choice of whether you're going to look at it in a positive way. It's up to you to do it. And how many of you know, you can change midstream, just in case. Right, I'm going to tell y'all. So I don't know why I like to tell y'all situations about how I messed up, but I think it helps, right? So this week I was really, really angry because I didn't get my thing to vote. Listen, voting is important. You need to do your part. I'm not telling you how to vote or what to do. I'm telling you to do it, okay? Telling you to do it. But anyway, I got my wife got her sample ballot and I didn't get mine. And I was like, well, I was jealous. He said, don't be envious, right? Don't covet your wife's sample ballot. That's what John told me yesterday at men's breakfast. It's like, don't covet your wife's stuff. I'm like, nah, okay, she can have hers. I want my own. So anyway, I called up to say, hey, man, you know, what's going on? And they told me that they had canceled it, and I wasn't, and even though I had registered before because I didn't get a piece of mail or something, whole crazy roundabout thing. But I was angry, and I was mean to the woman on the phone. Like, I know why y'all quit me from voting. I know this is not that, you know, the conspiracy theorists came out of me at the moment. And I was angry. And then I went into the office because I had to go and fill my paperwork out so that I knew that it was coming. I missed this, the primaries, but I get to vote in the general election. So, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, so I was very aggravated. But when I was driving to the place, in my aggravation, how many of you know you go over what you're going to say in your mind? I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Don't give away a whole lot. Maybe I have a lot left sometimes. You know what I'm saying? We give away too much. So I got there, and as I was walking in the door, it's like he hit me. And he's like, why are you being like this? Do you know that the women behind the counter had absolutely nothing to do with why I was unable to do what I was wanting to do? It's not their fault. They're there to help me fix it. But I was being disrespectful. I was being mean. I wasn't really bad disrespectful, but I was being mean, and I was going through things, and I'm like, hey, this is not who you need to be. So you know what? I prayed as I was opening the door. God, changed my heart. So when I got inside, what did I do? I started praying. Kept praying, God, help me with this. Help me with this, because I was angry. I was aggravated. But how many of you know you can be angry and not sin? That's what Scripture says. You can be angry and still do right. And that's what I was trying to do. And so I took my perspective and I changed it. Why? I started looking at it from a different place. And because of that, my whole world changed. And I wasn't aggravated anymore. Why? Because that wasn't what I needed to be aggravated at anyway. If I'm being aggravated about something, there's a lot more better things. Who learned me to spoke? There is a lot more things that I could be upset about than that. Right? There's a lot of things that I could be mad about in my life. And it depends on how I want to look at things. So when Paul's writing in Philippians, remember, he's in prison. And we're going to read the first part of it, Philippians 1. 12 and 13. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read you from the Scripture, and then I'm going to read you the perspective that we generally have with the same Scripture. You guys ready? All right. It says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest of my, that my imprisonment is for Christ. Now I want you to read the perspective. Now I'm going to read that same verse, but with the perspective that we have a lot of times in our life. Are you ready? This is the bad perspective version. You ready? It says, now I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that what happens to me really stinks. God let me down. I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, depression, and hopelessness. Because of all that I've been through, I'm going to quit coming around, and I'm not going to church again. That's kind of drastic. But you know what? That's what we do in our lives. We take a situation and we look at the negative side. We look at, I'm be honest with you, God will never let you down. He may do things in a way that you don't think is right at the time, but how many of you know when you turn back and you look at your life 5-10 years from now, you're going to be like, man, I know exactly what I see what you were doing, God. I see what you were doing. If I'd only known then what I know now, right? We can use that in every aspect of our lives. But if we look and say, God, what are you doing in the situation? Help me see it from the right perspective. Help me see it from your perspective. Paul had man, I wish I could be like this guy. Honestly. Even though he says he got things wrong, I see a lot more right than I see wrong. Maybe he didn't write down the wrong. I don't know. But, nah, just kidding. That was a joke. We can have the perspective of pain in our situation. My dreams are over. This is done. This is not right. I remember a good friend, man. We sat right here on this altar and prayed because they were frustrated about a home that they had gotten that was their dream home that they thought was exactly what it was. And he's like, man, I don't understand. It seems like every time I turn around, every time I try to do something, right? Every time I try to make a step in this direction to go to this place, the door shuts on me. And I said, that's just because God has something better for you, right? And we sat right here and prayed about a home for them. And you know what? The home that they found way better than anything they could have ever imagined about the other place. Bigger, nicer, more fish off the dock in the back, right? It was amazing. But you know what? Had they gone with the first one and pushed through and made that happen, guess what? They would have never got what God actually had for them. Sometimes we don't understand why we don't get an answer the way that we want it to. We don't see what all's happening and what all's going on. But how many of you know God is doing more than you can see in your situation? He's doing more than you think he is. We can have that perspective of pain. Everything's over. I can't sleep. I can't breathe at night. I'm frustrated. I'm anxious. I worry about this all the time. Or we can have the perspective of praise and say, God, I don't get it, but I know you're in control. And according to the scripture that we read in the beginning, guess what happens? When we go to him and we give it to him, there's a peace that passes understanding. I don't understand why I have this, but I do. People look at you and say, how can you be going through this situation and look and act like that? Because God has given me a peace, even though this place is horrible that I'm at now. God is good, and he's going to bring me out of it. He's going to bring me through it. He's writing this letter with the thought process of, God, you're never going to leave me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. It's all going to be good. Good is going to come out of this situation. He's chained to a Roman guard. But the thing about him being chained to a Roman guard is the fact that he has influence over that person for 8 hours a day. Think that thought. Who's stuck with who? Right? You say, man, I'm at my job and I'm stuck with people that don't believe in Jesus. Well, let's turn this back around again. What about the people that stuck with you for 8 hours? What are they seeing? Are they seeing Jesus? Are you talking about him? He said, well, my work won't let me. There are ways to share Jesus with people and not throw a Bible at them. I'm just going to be honest. There are ways to do it. Who was the real prisoner? And you see, this wasn't the first time that Paul prays. And this is why it's so important that we understand what's going on and how we impact people. He's writing this letter to them saying, hey, you need to rejoice no matter what the situation. The people that he's writing this letter to, do you know the first time they met him? He was in prison in Philippi, right? Beaten. We read about it in Acts chapter 16. This is about Paul and Silas. Acts 16:22. It says, the crowd joined in attacking them. And the magistrates tore off their garments, the garments off them, and gave orders to beat them with rods. This is the first time a lot of these people see Paul. Now, he's writing this book years later, where we're reading Philippians. He's writing this later. This is when he first meets them. You say, why is that important? Because no matter what situation you're in, people see you. No matter what situation you're going through, people are looking at you, especially if you tell them. How many of you know some people know that you're a Christian? Some people you tell you're a Christian. Some people don't know you're a Christian and you're sitting next to them. That should never be. That should never be. I don't have to share Jesus with people. I don't have to say his name every other sentence in order for people to see my life modeling Christ's life. Right? Something's different. I don't know what it is, but something's different about you. What is it? Well, you ask, so I'm going to tell you, right? Here you go. But we see him in prison, them in the dungeon, Paul and Silas being chained up. And in verse 25, just three verses after they were beaten with rods and put in there, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. About midnight, these guys are beat. They're chained up. They're not probably didn't get fed. I mean, don't say that. But I mean, at midnight, anyway, it's not like they got midnight snacks in jail. I'm just saying. That's not why they were awake at that time. They were awake at that time because they were focusing on the good in the situation. What's the good in the situation? You could say, think in the bad perspective, you could say, God, why didn't you deliver me before this situation? God, if you could deliver me, then why am I in prison? Why am I beaten? Why am I chained up here at midnight? Instead of being out and having this amazing life that everyone says you have when you come to Christ. Do you know what? You still have issues when you come to Christ, but you're not by yourself in the middle of them. You still have issues when you come to Christ, but you have a hope knowing that God is in control and he's going to work something good out in this situation. You say, well, I can't see at all how being beaten and thrown into prison could bring any good. How could it be good at all? Let's keep reading. Paul tells in the situation, God could have delivered him, but it didn't. But he also says, rejoice always. Now he says, rejoice always in the book that he's writing back to them. But they have seen him do this. That's why he can say it. They've seen him live this out. That's why they could say it. Paul says, I'm going to praise him when he delivers me. And I'm going to praise him when he doesn't. When he doesn't bring me out of this situation, when I still have to walk through it, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to give him glory. I'm still going to look to him. Funny how we don't hear a lot of messages about the bad times, and we're still going to go through it all, and it's still going to be there. But the truth is that we are. And in every situation, we can look at it with the perspective of, this is horrible, why in the world am I here? Or we can look at it as, God, what are you going to do in this situation? Why is my tire flat? Or who can I talk to while I'm sitting here working on this tire? Right? Who at the tire shop when I go in tomorrow is gonna get to see Jesus in me in the middle of my situation? What state trooper's gonna pull up? Or the guys in, you know, the guys in those cars that come and they just roadside assistance, right? How are they gonna see me react when they pull up? Am I gonna be angry and mad, or am I gonna be happy and telling them how good God is in the midst of this messed up tire? Right? I can look at how much the tire's gonna cost me, or I can look at how much I can invest into the person coming to change it. He says this, it's a different perspective. He says, now I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, what has happened. I want you to know what has happened to me. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They were singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them. And then it says this, and then suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Do you notice the fact that it wasn't just Paul and Silas who was unfastened? Everyone was set free because of praise in their life. Everyone was set free because of the perspective. Everyone that was around, everyone that was listening, everyone that saw what was happening got to see God move and work, not just in Paul and Silas's life, but in their own life. The song that we sing, man, it's an amazing song. Linda Parrott's the first one that brought it to me and said, hey, you gotta hear this, you gotta listen to this. It's called Raise a Hallelujah. And I'm gonna read the lyrics to it. And I want you to think about your life and your situation. And I want you to think of it on this premise. What if the key that unlocks my miracle is the sound of my praise to God? What if the key to the chains falling off of me being freed from my situation, is all about my perspective, looking at God and what he's doing in my situation? What if? This song says, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. How many of you know in the middle of your situation, sometimes it's hard to believe. It's hard to see. It's hard to have faith in it. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm going to sing in the middle of my storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. My king is alive. I'm going to raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I'm going to raise a hallelujah and I'll watch the darkness flee. I'll raise a hallelujah in the middle of my mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear has lost your hold on me. Fear, you lost your hold on me. How many of you know our praise changes everything in our life? Looking at God with a perspective of praise. Looking at our situation with the perspective of, God, I praise you. And this is the thing, man. We're going to praise God not for what's happening to us. We're going to praise God for who he is in the middle of what's happening to us. Because if we understand who God is, what time is it? Do I have time? I have time. I'm going to go through it quick, but I have time. If we look to who God is in our situation, then we understand. I'm going to hurry, I promise. We understand what he will do in the situation. If we understand what the word of God says about who he is and what he is, Aaron, man, whenever you're ready, you can come back up because I'm going to go through this quick. So I have some of the things. I just looked it up on the internet real quick. I just looked it up to see, and I want you to understand what the word of God says about him. Who is God? Genesis 1:1, he calls him Elohim, the creator. He created everything. Everything that's around us. Psalm 16:2 calls him Adonai, Lord or Master. Leviticus 20:7-8 calls him Jehovah Makadesh, which is the Lord who sanctifies me. Psalms 23. I thought I was going to get through a whole message all without crying once. Sorry, I'm going to come back. Yahweh Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I may be mispronouncing all of these because I don't really know, but you didn't know it either, so it's okay. Genesis 16:13-14 is El Roi. And the cool thing about this part right here, it's the God who sees. And when you read this story, Hagar is fleeing, and God calls out to the wilderness and says, I know right where you are. I see where you're at. I see you in the middle of your situation. Psalms 144:1 says his name is Yahweh Tirsi. The Lord is my rock. When my ground is shaking all around me, he's the one constant thing I can hold on to and I can stand on. Exodus 17:15-16 is Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is my banner. Do you know what the banner was for? It's for fighting battles, going into battle, raising the standard. And it went before the men with the weapons. It went out first. Genesis 22:13-14. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Exodus 15:22-27. calls him Jehovah Rophi, the God who heals. And Luke 10:15, Abba, he's our Father. He's always there for us. No matter what your situation is, he is there. And we need to understand when we start praising him for who he is, when we start quoting his scripture about who he is and the promises that he's made for each and every one of us, our perspective completely and totally changes from the issue, the mountain, the problem, to the one who moves mountains. The one who fixes the problems. Yeah. The one who's carrying me through the middle of my issue. When are we supposed to rejoice all the time? So, I'm going to come back to something real quick. I'm sorry. I was going to be done, but I'm just hang tight with me, y'all. This is what ends up happening in Philippians. The jailer that was there, because of what happened, was one of the founding members of the Philippian church. He was one of the most important people that him and his whole household came to know God. Who never would have known God or never would have seen God move in the way that he did had Paul and Silas had the wrong perspective on why they were in prison. He was going to kill himself and end it all. It's going to be over. I'm done. My life is over. I can't do this. Do you know that's kind of how we come to God most times? My life is over. I can't do this. I can't face this. I can't battle this. I can't go through this. God, I need you. People say that you help me. People say that you'll carry me through. People say these things. Do you know what? You don't have to listen to what people say. You can walk in it yourself.
Amen.
You know, it's really cool to hear other people's testimonies. And some of them are super kind of unbelievable. You know, you start listening to them and you're like, I don't know about all of that. But do you know what? If I sit down and I tell you my whole testimony, you'll look at it and say, man, I don't know about that. But do you know what? You can't never take that away from me.
Praise God.
Because I know it happened. And that's why our testimonies are so important. One, it reminds us, this is who I was, this is where I am, and I know he's not done with me, like I said earlier. But the second thing it does is it points other people to Christ.
Yeah.
And allows them and their whole family to come and know God's grace, God's mercy. And then when we stand up and say, rejoice in the middle of your issues, rejoice in the middle of your problems. Man, I saw your problem last time. You weren't rejoicing, right? What'd they say to Paul? That's how I met you. You were rejoicing in the middle of your issue. If you can do it, if God can do it for you, then guess what? He can do it for me.
Amen.
God, help fix this situation. Change my perspective. Maybe that's what we need to do. Remember when Jesus is going to the demon-possessed boy and he says, all things are possible, only believe. And he said, help my unbelief. God, help me change my perspective. Help me see who you are in this situation. And help me give you this situation and let you give me peace. Guard my heart, guard my mind, and allow me to walk through it. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to sing. This is Philippians 4:4-7, but this is out of the Message Bible. You ready? Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it clear as you can to all you meet that you are on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any time. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. How many of you know how amazing it is when Christ takes that away from you? That worry, that fear, that anxiety, the issues. Not that he takes away your issue, he takes away the fear of the issue because you know he's in control of it. You know he's taking care of it. How many of you ready to let God take care of some stuff this morning? How many of you ready to have your perspective changed this morning? You to bow your heads and close your eyes just real quick, and then we're going to sing. You've got an issue. You need your perspective changed. You need to start seeing God move in your situation. You need your eyes opened as Elisha prayed. You need your situation. Nah, that's wrong. You don't need your situation to change. You need God to change you in the middle of your situation. You be honest and say, that's me. I got some stuff I need to give him. I got some worry that I need to get cast off. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, right now, you saw the hands that were raised. You know the hearts that raised them. Father God, you know the issues that they're facing, the trials that they're coming through, whether they're here or whether they're watching online. Father God, you meet us where we are in the midst of our situation. And when we cry out, Jesus, in the midst of the wind and the waves, you are there.
Thank you.
We ask now that you help to change our perspective. You help to change our mind, the way we look at the situation, our eyesight, the way we see things, Father. And that you would allow us to see what you're doing. Or maybe not what you're doing, but to see you in the middle of our situation moving, Father God. God, anybody here that doesn't know you, that's ready to give their life to you, that's ready to surrender. This is the thing. All it takes is Jesus, save me. We say a prayer so that according to the scripture, it says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and I give you an opportunity to confess every week. You're ready to give everything to God. All of us in the house or watching online. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. Jesus died for me. Rose again. Gave me access to you. I accept it now. Help me be who you created me to be. Help me share you with others. Help me have your peace that passes understanding and the freedom that comes from your Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Do me a favor. If you prayed that prayer with me, either fill out the communication card in the seat there or go online, lakevictory.com. There's an option for a connection card. Go on there and fill that out. Let us know why, so that we can celebrate with you, so that we can pray with you through the middle of your situation. Because you're not alone in the middle of it. Amen?
Amen.
Not alone. God is with us, and we're here with you as well. Let's sing. God's good to us. Stand to your feet.